Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, fastest growing, and now even the largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to challenge any of this, if you would like to participate in this discussion, it is 877-300-7645. In the first hour on Fridays, it's always my pleasure to welcome in IQ Al-Rasuli, who is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. IQ, it is it's a horrible day. The United States is bombing Iraq again. Wasn't it and you're an Iraqi, didn't America's bombing of Iraq cause all of this mess?
To start with, in the time of Bush, yes. But it continued without bombing Iraq. It continued by overthrowing Gaddafi of Libya and the Egyptian, Hosni Mubarak. That's what happened.
Yeah, and then, of course, the United States and Saudi Arabia and Qatar decided that they would supply billions of dollars of weapons to the Islamic terrorists in Syria that you and I think, were the only ones who said are actually worse than Assad. And now they have ignored the border, have joined forces with the Sunni Awakening program in Iraq, and now have created the largest, most popular, best armed, best financed, most successful Islamic terrorist organization of all time.
Correct. But the intervention, really, from the point of view of America, was to try to save as many Christians as possible. The tragedy is they have acted too late.
Right.
As usual, Obama, the idiot, with all due respect, acted too late. He should have done it months and months ago, not now.
I'm going to agree with you that it's too late now, but I would disagree with you that it would ever have had any benefit. I will also disagree that he did not do it to save Christian lives. Those that he's trying to spare, if you will, now are an ethnic minority that have a blended religion between Islam and Zoroastrianism. The Christians, it's already over for them. It's been over for the Christians for some time. I think even before the rise of the Islamic State, that some 80 to 90% of the 1.8 million Christian population of Iraq had been obliterated. And that all the Islamic State has done is taking the last two or three areas where there was a remnant and has told them either convert to Islam, forfeit all of your money, and live in abject humility, or die.
Okay, I agree. Unfortunately, it's a terrible situation. And they're ignoring what's happening between Hamas and Israel by trying to force Israel to have a ceasefire. And I don't know how they expect Israel to have a ceasefire when rockets are shot at their population centers. I have no idea.
Yeah, if you look at the Israeli situation, it is astonishing that the world would even bother to speak out against Israel in trying to defend itself and speak on behalf of Hamas, therefore, when you've got the Islamic State committing the scale of atrocity that they are in Iraq and Syria. I mean, the scale of the carnage is so disproportionate. I mean, one is beyond the fact that one is a response and in defense of one's civilians, and the other is designed to annihilate any civilian that doesn't agree with traditional fundamentalist Sunni Islam. The scale between the two is just so egregiously large. It's amazing to me that there is anyone in the world that would write an article or talk about, or like a president of the United States, speak out against Israel.
Yeah, but they're speaking, especially the Europeans. This is the most amazing thing. The last 4 weeks, by the way, I've been restudying the New Testament. I'm trying to figure out the intense hatred shown by so-called Christians in Europe. Mm-hmm. So the children and grandchildren of the ones who committed atrocities in, mm-hmm. during World War II are no different from their grandfathers and fathers. None at all.
Yeah.
This is the conclusion I'm coming to. None at all.
Yeah. The reason that that Christians are in Christian Europe, which is becoming, like America, considerably less Christian every day. Now it's actually a minority of Americans that are Christian and a minority of Europeans that are Christian. But the reason that Christianity was opposed to Israel and in Jews is really an interesting story, but it has really two common denominators. One of them is the writings of Paul. Paul is the author of half of the Christian New Testament. Paul was a Roman first, a Jew second. So he was a Jew who happened to be a Roman citizen. And he wrote to and spoke on behalf of Romans and Greeks. And he was extraordinarily hateful towards Jews. Extraordinarily hateful. His letters are repulsive in terms of their attack.
Yes.
Which, see, because he, although his given name was Shaul, and he was in rabbinic school, he was kicked out of rabbinic school. So he was discarded by the Jewish community, and so he changed his name to a Latin name, Paulos, letting go of his entire Hebrew past, his Jewish past, and went to war against his race on behalf of the nation, the Empire of Rome, that he identified with. And so that's where it begins, because Christianity is based entirely on Paul's letters. That's why the religion is so corrupt. Now, there's another aspect. I said there were two aspects of this, because it's important to understand why Europeans and why Americans, influenced by Christianity as both nations and conglomerations of nations are so anti-Israel. The second is that Hadrian was ingenious in an extraordinarily evil way. Rome, as you know, in 70 AD destroyed the temple. And when they destroyed the temple, they crucified enormous numbers of Jews, and they hauled Jews into Rome, along with the booty stolen out of the temple to build the Roman Colosseum. But by the time of Hadrian, he pulled a stunt where he told the Jews that were living in exile. He said, "Why don't you all come back to Israel, to the province of Yehuda, and we will rebuild Jerusalem together." And they bought the bait. They swallowed it. And they came in, and the moment that he had got the majority of Jews to return, he told them, oh, by the way, we're not going to call this Jerusalem. We're going to name the city after me. It's going to be a shrine to my deity. And then when they rebelled, he killed virtually every one of them, renamed the place Palestina instead of Yisrael or Yehuda, outlawed the Torah, outlawed the Shabbat, outlawed Yahweh's seven annual meetings, burned every copy he could find of the Torah, and essentially made being a Jew and being Torah observant illegal. And so it was the combination of those two, this hatred of Rome for all things Jewish and for the Torah, and then Paul's letters that created a repulsive condition among Christians. And what I'll do is I'm about ready to, in fact, I think I have already posted, it has already been posted. If you go to yadaya.com and you go to the seventh volume, you can read the nature of Rome from a prophetic point of view and why particularly Christians, Western Europe and America, have come to hate Israel. It's all there.
Interesting. But, I mean, it is pervasive.
Yes, it is.
It's been going on for 1,700 years.
Yep.
The most remarkable part of the whole thing is, in spite of all the slaughter, the plunder, mm-hmm. the discrimination, the burnings, the Jews survived. And they created back in their own land, the state of Israel.
Yeah.
The reason the Arabs and the Muslims hate Israel is not because only of the Quran, by the way. Not only because of the Quran. No.
Correct.
Because Israel is of 8 million people, including almost 2 million Arabs. A small state created last 66 years outproduces in every field of a human endeavor the totality of the Muslim world, of 20% of humanity.
Yeah. That was the reason for Hamas. It was the reason for the PLO. It was the reason for the Intifadas, which were the uprising. It was the reason, it was the entire reason of the Six-Day War. It was the reason of the Yom Kippur War. And it is tied indirectly to the Quran. Because what the Quran says, if you want proof that Allah is better than and is the best, oldest, and most powerful God, therefore better than the God of the Jews, who would be Yahweh, all you have to do is compare their achievements to Islamic achievements. So the Quran actually communicates that several times, using different words. And so when you looked at the depravity of Islamic countries compared to Israel, and particularly, you looked at the Muslims living in Israel, and they were the most prosperous, best educated, freest, healthiest, most opportunistic Muslims of the world. That it was an utter embarrassment to Islam, and so their jealousy is really a huge part of why they want Israel obliterated.
There is no question about it. Something else. Nobody ever heard of an Israeli Arab running away from Israel to go to any of the Arab countries. Never happened.
Correct.
In 66 years, it never happened.
Correct. But look at the other way around.
Yes. They want very much to be part and parcel of Israel.
When we return, I have some statements from Erdogan, King Abdullah, and Ayatollah Khomeini, all of which said the same thing, and I'd like your response to what they ask Muslims to do. Welcome back to Shattering Message. Before we entertain IQ, or IQ entertains us with his response to the three Islamic leaders' statements this week, I should tell you, IQ, that the subject that you are curious about as to why does Christian America and Christian Europe, at least places influenced in the past by Christianity, have such a hatred for Jews in Israel. I actually wrote these chapters, the first four chapters that you'll find in Volume 7 of Yada Yada, so it's yadayada.com, because what I wanted to figure out was a slightly different twist. It's going to answer your question, but the question I wanted to know was, since it's so obvious that Christianity is a religion that grew wholly separate from its roots. You know, plants don't grow that are uprooted. The roots of everything that Christianity ought to have been based upon were yanked, not only yanked aside and tilled over and salted and demeaned and poisoned. But here's this this religion that is so obviously false and so at war with its own inception that I wonder now how that was possible. How can you fool billions of people into believing a religion that is so incongruous with its own history, that is based entirely on a completely revisionist perspective of history? I wanted to know how that was possible. So I studied Roman Greece to understand how it was possible that the majority of people at a particular time bought into the lie. But when you understand how they bought into the lie, you will also understand why they remain so anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. All right. Erdogan, who you and I have talked about for years. The West has viewed Erdogan as a Democrat and a moderate that was an example. No one is saying that anymore because it's obvious that he's not. He's a fundamentalist Muslim, and he has yanked Turkey into the Muslim world and out of any alliance with the West. King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia and the Ayatollah Khomeini all said the same thing this week. They announced that Muslims need to stop killing Muslims and to start killing Jews so that Israel can be annihilated. So here's America. NATO is an American, is part of NATO. So Turkey is part of NATO. Saudi Arabia is the largest recipient of American weapons of any country in the world. And Iran is on the cusp of developing a nuclear bomb because of the stupidity of the Obama nation negotiations. And all three leaders said, it's time that we focus on the prime objective, which is to kill Jews and annihilate Israel.
Because they know if they do that and succeed, the next on the line will be Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact. Right. In my country, Iraq, I remember, after the Jews were chucked out or forced out, the talk in the cafeterias between, you know, friends, بعد السبت يجي الأحد, that's Arabic, بعد السبت means after the Sabbath, which is the day of the Jews, the holy day. يجي الأحد means comes the Sunday, which is the holy day of the Christians.
Right.
Now, by 1972, there was from over 150,000 original Jews of Iraq, not a single one remained. Only the Christians remained. And in 2005, we had 1.3 to 1.4 million. Today, as we speak, I don't think we have 200,000. And these, by the end of this year, there will be nothing.
You have barely 60,000 now.
Okay. I'm being generous.
Yeah. And the 60,000 that exist now are all under siege. The 60,000 that exist are all under the Islamic State edict, which is profess that you are a Muslim. In other words, give up Christianity, become a Muslim. And or live in abject humility. Your house will be marked as it belongs to us. Your lives, you will wear clothing that is marked because you belong to us. You will be
exactly
Nazi style. It may even be worse than the Nazi style. And you'll have no trial if we think that you've done anything that isn't conducive to what we want, including you sacrificing your daughters to be raped. If you don't do all of that, then we're going to kill you.
And the most remarkable part, not a single demonstration anywhere in Europe.
No.
Not a single demonstration anywhere in America.
Correct.
No demonstration. No, in fact, nothing from the Vatican, nothing from the Presbyterian churches, nothing from the Anglican churches, zero silence.
Right. Now, while I don't like Christianity, I'm opposed to Christianity, the fact of the matter is that this is an expose on the true nature of Islam. And now that you know what the Islamic State is all about, and therefore what Islam is all about, it's time that the world actually found a backbone, stood up against it, realized we have to quarantine this evil. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Misery. I'm in a conversation with IQ Al Rasuli, author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. IQ, I've noticed something that has changed just in the last 24 to 48 hours in terms of news reporting, and it seems to be ubiquitous. Once Obama decided that he would reengage and start dropping bombs on Iraq, the Islamic State is no longer being called the Islamic State. They're either being referred to as terrorists, and they're really not terrorists because they for the most part, are warring against militias and armies, both the Syrian and Iraqi army, and then Sunni militias, or Shia militias, or they're just being called IS, with no explanation as to what IS represents. It's as if collectively, politically, and in the media, no one wants to have anybody identify the egregious behavior that's taking place in Syria and Iraq with Islam.
They've been doing it for 66 years, not the first time. I'm very low-key today because I'm so upset, you have absolutely no idea. the egregiousness of the whole of the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
their duplicity, their hypocrisy.
Correct.
Each one is light years ahead than the other one. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
They talk about disproportionate casualties. What does that mean?
Right.
When almost 50 to 100,000 were incinerated by the British in Dresden, nobody warned them beforehand.
Right.
What is disproportionate? Hundreds of thousands, almost 500,000 between Tokyo, Nagasaki, and Hiroshima were incinerated. I'm not saying that America had no right to do that. They had every right to do that. But did they warn anybody?
Of course not.
Israel is warning them to leave, and then they end up with 1,900 civilians. How is it possible? How is it possible Israel loses 65 soldiers and only 1,900 civilians are dead? Where is Hamas? Where are the fighters of Hamas? After all, Israel is targeting them and blowing them up with their own guns. So where are their dead bodies?
Did you hear the most recent Hamas television, Alaska TV? Did you hear the most recent recording? It was publicized all over lesser news sources. It wasn't, of course, in the Washington Post or New York Times or any of the English papers like the BBC. It begins. This would be the Kuwaiti Muslim Brotherhood leader, and there's then the version that takes place in Hamas. Every Muslim mother must nurse her children on hatred of the sons of Zion so that a new generation will erase them from the face of the earth.
Well, yeah, okay. It's not going to happen. You know why? Israel has what they call, I don't know if you remember or you know, the Samson option.
Mm-hmm.
If Israel is going to go down, and I think it is very possible, because they're all ganging against her,
correct,
with the help of the West, of course.
Correct.
Israel has over 200 nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I don't think they will leave a single city in North Africa or the Middle East standing up.
Yeah. If they deploy that tactic, there won't be a Muslim standing. Now, this was the Muslim Brotherhood's response to Gaza. You received the death you wanted. We are not like the children of Israel who strive to stay alive. We yearn for death and for martyrdom.
Isn't that funny? When we kill them,
we're doing them a favor. We're doing them a favor. I know. We're doing them a favor. Let's send them off to Allah. You know, what's interesting here is that today, Hamas broke the truce and sent 20 rockets into Israel. Israel responded, and the headline is the 5 or 7 year old boy that was killed because he was playing around one of the rocket launchers.
Yes, but it's always a child who is getting killed, or a woman who is getting killed, but never Hamas members getting killed.
Right. Why? Because the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, Islam, is a death cult. And it is a cult where Muslims want to die for Allah, because it's the only guaranteed means into the Islamic paradise. So they literally crave death. They have nothing to live for. They crave death. And so that's why the children, that's why the women are around the rocket launchers, because they know that Israel will fire and they will die the martyr's death. And they believe that when they do that, they are released from the living hell that is living in an Islamic community. And they go directly to Allah's brothel of a paradise.
The question I'm going to ask, which is the same question you will ask, is
yes,
why is the United Nations objecting?
Right.
After all, Israel is fulfilling their wishes. Why are they objecting?
Because they hate Israel.
That's it.
Yeah, they hate Israel. The whole world has gone into that mindset. We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, I know you wanted to add to this conversation. Hello, Glenn.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I say ranging far field here on the conversation. I originally called in when IQ was talking about the attitudes in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to start there by pointing out Well, first of all, you'll know them by their fruits in terms of everybody in all these groups and these situations.
Right.
But the religion of the old world and the new world now is abject narcissistic self-worship, self-deification. I mean, we've had the whole 20th century. We've seen, you know, atheism, and in the communist countries, we've seen, you know, liberalism and nominalism throughout Europe and America. It's just, you know, it's just the adversary whispering the same old thing. You shall be as gods. People are self-absorbed.
Right.
Europeans
right.
don't go to church.
No.
You know, so, I mean, even if you don't like Christianity, the point is, it's not Christian. I mean, they actually have, people argue about whether America's a Christian nation, which it clearly is not in terms
right.
of, but now at least a Christian nation, where Britain's a Christian nation. All these European nations have state churches, yet the people themselves aren't observant. So, they're not Christian at this point. They're narcissists.
Yes, but they were indoctrinated.
Sure.
In Christian societies. So, the search for why they, hate Israel. Is IQ is correct. He went to the reason. The reason is because Christianity is so anti-Israel, so anti-everything that was associated with God. And they think that they, in replacement theology, that all of the promises made to Israel go to them, and that Israel is now the enemy as opposed to the chosen people. I mean, it's laughably stupid, but that's the culture they were brought up in.
Well, you have the notion you also, if not complete replacement theology, of the notion of the Jews being cut off for a time and then grafted back in,
yeah.
you know, at the later date, at the end of the church age or whatever, yeah.
yeah.
But, yes, and the, oh, by the way, it's Al-Aqsa. It's the Q comes before the S,
yeah.
so it's
okay.
Al-Aqsa. The whole thing is this idea of the Muslims saying, you know, that they yearn for death. Oh, just should let them know their terms are acceptable.
The problem here is goes right back to the problem that IQ and I have been trying to grapple with from the beginning. That if you realize, if your eyes are open and you see the carnage that is being perpetrated by Muslims, that they're responsible for 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts, and that the entire Islamic world right now is ablaze in war. And that if you look for the cause of that, with the only common denominator being the Quran and the Hadith, being Muhammad and Allah, what you find is an absolute fit in the Islamic scriptures for this hideous behavior that
right.
we're witnessing
right.
today. And yet there isn't even one in a million people willing to make the obvious connection. IQ, that's my biggest frustration. Is that yours as well?
Right. I would venture a guess as to why. I don't know if IQ's heard you.
IQ?
I'm listening.
Yeah, I was just saying that my biggest frustration in all of this is the obvious connection that is being disregarded. That if you look at what is happening in Syria, Iraq, Somalia, the Sudan, Egypt, Libya, really, throughout the Islamic world right now, if you look at the acts of terrorism that are being perpetrated by Muslims around the world, and you look at the only common denominator between them all, which is the Quran and Hadith, Muhammad and Allah, and then you find that when you examine the Quran and Hadith, that there's an absolute perfect fit between the instructions and the behavior. And yet, one in a million people make that connection.
And I think I can tell you why, Yana, when IQ
okay.
is done.
Go ahead, IQ.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. Go on, please.
Okay. My suggestion as to the reason why is most people think of the phrase, the cliche, the pen is mightier than the sword, as a positive thing. That, you know, oh, it's so much better to, you know, write treaties, and that's what the pen writes. The pen is mightier than the sword can also just as well mean that let's refer to the power of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And the West thinks, and especially the liberals and progressives in the West, think that they can bamboozle everybody. Like, if you can't dazzle them with your deeds, baffle them with your BS. And that's what the West thinks. They use the pen. They think that with their propaganda, they can nominalize Islam and marginalize Islam, as they've done with Christianity. but it's so inherently militant and violent, they cannot. And they're whistling through the cemetery, you know, in denial, in avoidance of the fact that their fancy words and their weasel words and their propaganda are not successfully changing these behaviors of Islam. They successfully changed the behaviors of liberal Judaism. They successfully changed the behaviors in Christianity, but Islam is immune to their magic, and they're in denial of that. This is why you don't see it addressed. They don't know what to do.
IQ, I think that's brilliant in a way. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the vast percentage of Christians are now nominal Christians, and the vast preponderance of Jews today do not adhere to the rabbinic traditions of Judaism. They're secular. And so the education in the West has indoctrinated them to the point that, particularly among young people, they have walked away. They're at best nominal in terms of their beliefs. But in Islam, the overwhelming preponderance are fundamentalists. In fact, we're seeing a rise of fundamentalists and fundamentalism in Islam. We're actually seeing an Islamic Reformation.
In fact, that's exactly what is happening. The return to the basics of Muhammad's 7th century Arabia, depraved as it is.
We'll return to that thought when Shabri Miss continues in a moment. Welcome back to Shabri Miss. We're having a conversation with IQ Al Rasuli. IQ, I'm sure you know Daniel Pipes. I don't know what your impression of him is, but I want to share something that where we had a disagreement going back 12 years ago. Daniel Pipes was writing that what Islam needs is a reformation. And I wrote him and wrote articles saying, no, that's exactly what Islam doesn't need. That if Islam has a reformation and returns to its roots, then the entire world will be embroiled in war. I think what we are witnessing and have been witnessing for the last 30 years is a return to the point where now about 70% of Muslims worldwide are fundamentalists.
With all due respect to him, he was wrong then and he's still wrong now because he continues talking about moderate Muslims.
Yes.
And completely imaginary people. They don't exist. They can't exist. The Quran doesn't allow them to exist. By the way, Greg, are you on?
You're talking about Glenn? Yes, Glenn is still with us. Go ahead, IQ.
Did you know that the Quran is 100% Zionist? Yeah, did you know that?
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The Quran is 100% Zionist. I'll prove it to you in a few seconds.
Okay.
It says in the Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5. To start with, chapter 17, Al-Isra, it says, chapter 17, verse 104, and we, Allah, said thereafter to the children of Israel, dwell securely in the land of promise. That's in the Quran. The next one is Al-Ma'idah 5.21. O my people, here is Moses talking to the Bani Israel, which is the Israelites. Mm-hmm. He tells them, enter the Holy Land, which Allah has assigned unto you. Ya qawmi, udkhulu al-ardha al-muqaddasata allati kataba Allahu lakum, in Arabic. 100% al-ardha al-muqaddasata, ardh means land, muqaddasata means holy land. No dispute. Another one. Al-Baqarah 2.47, which is, it says, O children of Israel, call to mind the special favor that I, Allah, bestowed upon you and that I preferred you to all others. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. That means on the whole world. What I'm getting at is the Quran in no uncertain terms. Mm-hmm. No imam will read this to you.
No.
No mullah will read this to you. No Muslim, true Muslim will read this to you. And yet, mm-hmm. verse after verse, four major verses in the Quran mm-hmm. speak of Bani Israel, which is the children of Israel, and mm-hmm. how Allah, the God of Islam, preferred them upon the whole of the humanity.
Right.
They never say these to you. Nobody mentions this to you.
Or the fact that everything you just said was actually in Hebrew as opposed to Arabic. In fact, almost all the Quran is actually written in Hebrew. The entire Arabic alphabet is a Hebrew alphabet. Let me tell you why that is there, and then why the war surahs, the last 24, supersede it. Is that almost all of the Quran, every part of the Quran that isn't based upon the ongoing argument in Mecca, where Muhammad said that his neighbors were slime bags, and all of the Meccans responded, say, no, Muhammad, you're the slime bag. And that dominates the first 90 surahs of the Quran as they're revealed in chronological order. From that point, the only thing that gave the Quran any credibility whatsoever is that Muhammad, when he moved to Yathrib and had contact with Jews, bought Talmud recitals from the Jews and then twisted those Talmud recitals. So you have the statements that since the Talmud is an argument on the Torah by rabbis, what you have is strands of truth that are woven through the Quran only because much of the Quran is twisted, bastardized citations of the Babylonian Talmud, which is itself based on arguments on the Torah. And so Muhammad uttered those statements to make it sound like he was actually writing or reciting a religious document.
Correct. But nonetheless, not a single one of these verses was abrogated. I checked this. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single abrogating verse regarding the land of Israel and the chosen. Never.
Correct. However,
it is so important. They are not abrogated.
Yeah, that's correct.
They exist, and they are correct, okay. And they should have been obeyed.
So
Hamas should use this as a condemnation of their own charter.
What do you think the odds are? Since the Quran is so obviously false and Islam is such a repulsive pile of lies, and Muslims aren't willing to respond to any of that, what do you think the odds are that you can use logic from their own Quran to persuade them?
Zero.
Zero. So it's entertaining. You found another contradiction in the Quran. It's entertaining, but it's not going to influence them.